The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all had a good weekend. It is a cloudy, just kind of a dreary day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Temperature's not bad. It's just, you just kind of look outside. There's not a whole lot of excitement, but we have a lot to talk about here on the show today. This is the Monday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Happy Transfer Portal Day. It is officially open, and it is wild right now. We'll talk about that a little bit.
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in college sports.
It is so crazy. And trying to keep up with it all has been impossible.
It's like if you put a faucet at the base of the Hoover Dam and then you finally turned it on and the entire all of it has to come through in a tiny space all at once.
Yeah, I really feel today for the people that are like the creators and they run like Transfer Portal Twitter accounts, because bless those guys, like the 247 Transfer Portal or the On3 or whoever it is, right? Those bigger media outlets that have Transfer Portal Twitter accounts. God bless them today. They are busy, 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 because the Transfer Portal is wild. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show today. We'll talk about the Auburn guys that are in the portal, where Auburn should go in the Transfer Portal. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Here's what we're looking at. We're going to talk college football playoff as the rankings and the final rankings were released yesterday. We'll talk about the playoff teams. We'll talk about some of the big bowl matchups as well. We'll have question of the day. It'll revolve around the Transfer Portal a little bit. We'll speak with Joey Blackwell of Bama Central at 2:30, get his thoughts on Alabama not being in the college football playoff, and talk about that basketball team a little bit, who has got some impressive wins on the resume so far. Then in hour number two, some more playoff. We'll talk to Transfer Portal. No Jacob Hillman today. He's wrapped up in some meetings, so we'll talk to him again next week. So later on in hour two, lots of Transfer Portal conversation. It'll be heavy in the second hour. Phone lines are open today. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. That number again, 334-321-1390. This is my second show of the day. I did Auburn Opelika this morning over on News Talk WANI 98.7, filling in for Ben Taylor. So 5 a.m. was an early wake-up call. Did that 6 to 9 show. I've got that all week. Then we've got this show all week. We also have two Lee's Got Basketball games this week, brother. So
Tuesday and Thursday, right?
Yes, Tuesday, Thursday. So it is a it's a busy week around. Plus, Auburn High game tonight over on 96.3 W Lee. We're not on the broadcast, but the station's got that going on. We've got City Council going on tomorrow on WANI. So it is a busy week of big time broadcast going on here at Auburn Network. But how was your weekend, man?
It was good.
You were off. You were off of work. You didn't have a show. You didn't have anything.
Yeah, was able to have a nice relaxing weekend.
Heck yeah, man!
It was what it was. It was a lot of fun. I got to rest up, enjoy a weekend.
There
off
you go.
Fully.
Well, you and Jack got after the game this coming weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for Auburn plays Memphis in Atlanta for Holiday Hoops Giving. So,
this is the weird part of basketball season where I hate that there's like week and a half breaks in between games for a lot of teams.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you.
I'm ready to get into conference play where you've got you're getting two games a week.
Right. You either get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you get Saturday. And that's what
You either get really Tuesday or Wednesday.
The SEC is more Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. Yeah.
Some of the Big Ten ACC sometimes will play on Monday. But yeah, SEC is typically Tuesday, Wednesday, and then on Saturday too. So speaking of the SEC, with basketball season being underway. Football season is wrapping up. We know we've got the playoff. We know we have the bowl games. But also, our SEC football challenge is officially over. So if you've been submitting your picks all season long, we appreciate you doing that. We hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully you had some friendly competition with some of your buddies. But we have a winner of the season-long competition that's been going on at ESPNAU.com. The 2022 SEC Football Challenge winner, here's what they're taking home, okay? They're taking home a $25 Visa gift card from the Orthopedic Clinic. They're taking home a $25 Johnny Brusco's gift card from Johnny Brusco's. They're taking home a Wickles Pickles prize pack and a 12-pack of Pepsi from Buffalo Rock Pepsi. Those individually were weekly prizes. But then the grand prize. So not only do they get all of the weekly prizes combined, they get a 50-inch 4K Ultra HD smart TV. All of that for being the season-long winner. So congratulations to Joe Giambrone of Auburn. You have won. He's been contacted. We were able to get with him this morning. So congratulations to Joe Giambrone of Auburn. He is your season-long winner of the SEC Football Challenge. So we appreciate everybody submitting your picks all season long. It was a lot of fun. And big, big thank you to our four sponsors, the Orthopedic Clinic, Johnny Brusco's Pizza, Wickles Pickles, and Buffalo Rock Pepsi for making all of that possible. So it's a lot of fun to pick games all season long. And again, congratulations to Joe Giambrone for winning the 50-inch 4K Ultra HD smart TV. So congratulations to him. Let's get into the big story around college football right now. The playoffs, it's here. We know the four teams. There was some drama over the weekend, and it started on Friday night, my friend, when USC did USC things, and they lost on Friday night, which was the first domino for some drama in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, things played out in a way that at least let Alabama be in the conversation. But thankfully, correctly,
yes,
Alabama was left on the outside looking in. You saw USC tumble down the rankings to 10 after losing for a second time to Utah,
which started it all on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Then Saturday, the first game of the day was the Big 12 championship game, which was fantastic, by the way. That was an awesome game. TCU, Kansas State, your boys got it done. Congratulations. Your boys got it done. Kansas State.
Preseason Big 12 championship pick right there. My Kansas State Wildcats go on to win the Big 12. Love to see it.
Any doubt throughout the year that that wasn't going to happen?
When they lost to Tulane, before we realized Tulane is right. Really, really good.
Yes, before Tulane went and won their own conference, beating the UCF.
11-2.
Yeah,
they went 11-2. They are going to be. I think they're that the G5 team in the New Year's Six.
They are
because they're ranked so high.
Yep.
You also have Troy and TCU.
And shout out to Troy.
25. Shout out to both those teams. Yeah. 11-2 and absolutely deserve to be ranked. And I love that the College Football Playoff Committee is like, yeah, we really should just throw these guys in there in the final rankings because it'll kind of be a little bit of covering their butts to the G5 contingent out there.
Right. Well, like we said, Kansas State, they defeat TCU in overtime in the Big 12 championship game, the first game of the day on Saturday. Max Duggan is it. He is a dude. He is what you want as a starting quarterback in a Power 5 program. He left every single bit of blood, sweat, tears, energy literally on the field in this ball game. I mean, he got to the point the dude couldn't even walk. I mean, he was so exhausted, he couldn't even like get up off his hands and knees.
From his knee and his elbow.
His elbow was nasty looking.
He'd been getting hit all game long.
And that final drive, he just took off.
I compared it to, you know, when you've watched, have you seen the Rocky movies?
Yeah, of course.
I was going to be really upset with you if you hadn't.
No, those are must-sees.
It's like 15 rounds of just eating power punches.
Yep.
And it's like not realistic to what boxing actually is. That's what Max Duggan just did on Saturday. He got smacked every time he dropped back the pass and somehow kept getting up and kept he kept his team in the game, kept doing having these awesome drives, running the ball with his legs, taking hits. He won the Heisman in a loss, which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
His Heisman moment is in a loss.
That drive was that is what a Heisman moment was. And you're right. He stood back there and got hit so many times. He said, screw this. I'm going to start running the ball. And that's exactly what he did. And
I think that they, down the stretch, TCU got screwed on review twice.
Yeah.
This is a really, really, really good point. I saw somebody say it. Why do we go to review if we're still going to get it wrong? Like, it's, yep. It's while, yes, Max Duggan did not cross the plane for a touchdown when he was diving to the end zone because his elbow was down. They spotted the ball at the one, and the ball should have been about 4 inches off mm-hmm. the goal line.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally, it was stupid because how are you going to miss the spot by 2 feet when you have better evidence? And if that gets spotted correctly, they score. Because the running back, he may have scored on the next play.
Yeah.
They didn't have the camera angle. They had the vertical camera angle from right behind the offensive line. It wasn't enough to prove that he crossed the plane. Well, if he's 2 feet closer, it's clear.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've said that for...
Also, sneak the dadgum football, TCU.
Yeah, why would you turn around and hand it to the dude on the 5-yard line? I hate that play.
Apparently, they were concerned about Max Duggan's ability to run a QB sneak with how beat up he was. But he just scrambled to the 2 and tried to dive into the end zone and has been taking hits all game.
Well, that didn't come from him. I can promise you that. If that was the play call, he'd said, okay, give me the ball. Like, there's no way he was like, nah, I can't do that. I mean, if that's the call, whatever. But
Sonny Dykes told people, I think, yesterday while they're at their playoff watch party that they were concerned about his ability to run a QB sneak.
That's ridiculous. No way.
See, with the way that their offensive line had super wide splits and the D-line is spread out as a result, you snap and you fall to one side of your center, just fall forward, and you score.
And they normally bring people back behind them to push him in anyway. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah.
There were holes in that D-line because of the way TCU's offensive line sets up.
You can't tell me that if they line up for that and they do a QB sneak with Max Duggan, he's not scoring. You can't convince me that doesn't happen. Until they would have proven, if Kansas State were to stop it, that's the only way I'd believe it. Because every other way and every other aspect on how that game went and the end of it, Max Duggan would score on that. But I'm with you on the replay part, where if we're going to go to the replay and get it wrong, just take the replay out. The result wasn't wrong, but you're right. The spotting of the ball was. And just talking replay in general, nothing makes me more aggravated in college football, in sports in general, where they go to review and they still get it wrong. That doesn't make any sense to me. It absolutely doesn't. I mean, I don't understand how you can have every camera angle, every official, you got 13 people in a booth or back in a city looking at this thing, and they go, yeah. And they either stick with their call, they change it, and it's clearly the wrong call. Like, it's crazy. But looking
at... Who was it that had the play where they jumped in the air? It was Duggan.
It was Duggan,
Duggan, where he jumped in the air, and he was
he basically...
And then he...
Are you talking the play where he dunked it, basically?
Well, no. I'm talking about the one where he's rolling right.
Oh,
and he jumps
yeah.
in the air to throw, and he stops his throwing motion...
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah!
His hand and then he tries to like flick mm-hmm. it forward.
Yeah,
that was a fumble. That was a fumble, and they called an incomplete pass. Kansas State got like that crew for that game was just not very good. I thought that they missed a few things on the Duggan dive for the end zone. They even talked about with the ESPN or Fox rules guy that was on the broadcast. He was saying that they have the ability on a first down or a touchdown to move the physical spot of the ball because, like, on a play like that, like, mm-hmm. if it's close, I guess if it's somewhere else on the field, then, like, the spot the spot. If there nothing changes, then like you would go with the spot on the field. But he made it seem like there is an ability to move the spot of the ball.
Yeah, that's interesting. So again, USC loses on Friday. That was the first domino that had to fall for this thing to get a little crazy. Then TCU loses the first game on Saturday. Then everything just started breaking loose because then stuff really starts getting interesting. The next two games, they went chalk like we thought they would. Georgia is able to take care of LSU pretty easily, 50-30. This game was not close at all, except maybe through the first quarter or so, and Georgia then just decided they were going to put this thing away. And Michigan,
it wasn't as close as that.
No,
as that score was.
No, absolutely not. I mean, Georgia put up 50 points, y'all. Like, let's just say it as it is. And LSU,
well, as soon as Jaden Daniels got banged up, the game was over.
Right.
And because if he didn't have that ability, if you don't have that ability to run, if he didn't have that aspect to his game, and he battled his butt off. I was impressed with the way that he played. I thought Nussmeier played well too, but you're missing an aspect of the offense as a result.
Yeah, when Georgia intercepted it off the helmet, that was it. I was like, all right, well, thanks for coming out, LSU. That's pretty much how this is going to go. And that's pretty much how it went. And so Georgia handles business against LSU. Michigan pulls away late against Purdue. I was really pulling for the Boilermakers just because I said they were going to win. Didn't happen. But they put up a fight, and this was a game into the fourth quarter. So credit to Purdue. But Michigan, they win 43-22, and they are Big Ten champs.
Donovan Edwards is really good.
Yes, he is. He's really good.
Really good.
Yep.
He's had to be the starting back for, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
And he's got 400 yards rushing and,
He technically didn't start the Ohio State game, but Corum didn't play very long. So,
fair.
So, I mean, basically, yes.
I thought Corum tried to go through pregame warmups and he didn't even get through.
He played a few snaps. I'm pretty confident he played a few snaps. And not many, though. I mean, he didn't play very many.
Well, for all intents and purposes, he's been the starter for two games.
Right.
And has run for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, dude's a stud.
Four touchdowns.
Dude's a stud. Is he exactly to the skill level and the experience as Blake Corum? No, but he makes Michigan dangerous.
He's good enough that I don't think the drop-off is that significant when you start looking at the playoff.
I agree. We got to get to a break. We'll talk about this some more when we come back. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Did the committee get it right on the top four? Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Ohio State slips in with all of the dominoes that fell. Ohio State, they sat at home on championship weekend, and it worked out for them. They are in the college football playoff. Did they get it right? We'll talk about it when we come back. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, good Monday, guys. How y'all doing?
Good Monday to you. We're doing all right, man. What you got for us?
I just don't want to call, but I want to comment on it. I think Michigan is the best team in the country. I think their team is going to win it all.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I'm not sure. I think a fully healthy, like if Blake Corum was ready to go and you had Edwards and Corum, just because they're so dynamic, I think that they'd have a really good chance. I just think that Georgia's just too good right now.
I'm starting to believe they're that team of destiny.
Who? Oh, Michigan is?
Yeah, Michigan is.
Could be. And you know what? Even if Corum was healthy, I think it would give Michigan a better chance. Here's the thing, though, Terry. I just think, and look, I don't think Georgia is as good as they were last year. I'll die on that. I think Georgia was a better team last year than they are this year. I still think they're better than everybody else. And I've said it before. I think this is a down year.
You haven't been listening to me all year where I said everybody stinks in 2022. It is.
It's a down year.
College football.
It is. It's a down year. When you look at the top four compared to what we've had in the past, this is a down year for college football. I don't think that Georgia is a just great, dominant, nobody could touch them type of team. I know they haven't lost this year, but I do think they're the best team in the top four for sure.
See, I believe if somebody can ever play defense and cover the tight end, stop the running game, they can beat Georgia because I don't think the Stetson Medical sack groceries at Publix.
Terry, here's my thing. There is there are four tight ends on Georgia's roster that all give you something different. Brock Bowers is the toughest player to cover in the country.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I just said somebody can do it.
So do you predict a Georgia-Michigan matchup in the championship game, Terry?
Yes.
I think most people probably would. We did talk about the odds. Georgia opened up as a touchdown favorite. Michigan is a 9-point favorite over TCU.
TCU is going to get bullied by Michigan.
Now, I'm sorry, Carter. I do think that Georgia-Ohio State is a great matchup. I mean, a great matchup.
Yeah, I think it's good. I do think that people are going to overlook Ohio State because of the last time they saw them on the field, which was on the scoreboard, it was a blowout loss to Michigan. But if you remember, this was a ball game going into the fourth quarter. Michigan just bullied them near the end. I do think Ohio State's talented. I do think they have a good offense. But I think if Georgia's offense can do what they've been doing, especially putting up 50 points in the SEC championship game, I don't think Ohio State can stop them, and I think Georgia's defense is too good. I think just kind of looking at this as of right now, Georgia's just more talented this year. Ohio State is down. They are not. The only reason they're in the playoff is because two other teams ahead of them lost. So I don't think they're a championship-caliber team this year, but they're in, so we'll see what they do.
If Tennessee beats South Carolina, they're probably the team in.
Yeah, exactly. I think if Tennessee beats South Carolina, if Clemson beats South Carolina, they're in the conversation as well. So, look, Ohio State may have gotten in, but I don't think they earned it.
I agree. And what I wanted to ask you guys about was the portal open today. I've heard there's over 700 players that transit. Is that true?
I would believe it. I don't know the exact number, but I would absolutely believe it. I mean, it is the busiest and the craziest that it has ever been in college football with the portal opening up today. We haven't touched on it a ton. We will later on, Terry. But I don't know the exact number, but you can look it up online and count if you want to, but I would absolutely believe that it is just it's an ungodly amount.
Well, you've even got starters getting in the portal, which I don't understand, but hey, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, change of scenery, change of coach
NIL
or whatever.
Money,
NIL, yeah.
Go to a different team, better roster maybe.
Hey, I mean, the coach may show up and say, you better enter the portal because I'm bringing my own dudes.
Yeah, what Deion Sanders just did.
That's right. That's exactly right. So there's so many different situations and scenarios on why guys are entering the portal, and the reasons are more than ever.
And Deion's going to go out to Colorado, and he's going to change the culture because winning is contagious, but so is losing.
Yeah,
and he's going to change that out there, and they're going to hurt people. They're going to hurt some certain schools out there. They are. I can see it coming. I didn't picture him at Colorado, and I don't think it's necessarily a great fit. But hey, it is what it is.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, Colorado may not be one of those schools that is necessarily or was necessarily looking for a guy that fit. I think they're looking for a guy that can just try to win them some ball games, man.
Well, if they lose, he can always just sit back in his office and smoke a doobie.
There you go. Yeah, it's legal out there. That's right, Terry. We appreciate the call, man. Yeah, what'd you think about that, by the way? Deion, I'm sure you saw the video. Pretty much everybody did.
I watched the video of him.
Yeah, his first meeting.
His team. Mm-hmm. I watched the video of the first meeting, and I watched the press conference.
Yes.
I watched all of it.
Yeah, and so if you haven't seen any of that, you can just Google it. It's out there. I like it, man. I
think it's garbage.
Garbage?
I think it's garbage what he did to those kids. He literally walked in and said, get out. He said, we don't want you here. We need you to make room for other people. And then he had them recite the qualities of the players he wants to bring
okay,
in.
Okay, that was bad. That was really that did make me laugh. I was like, no way he just had them recite different words and repeat it back to him.
Did you also notice that like
that was funny.
The first meeting was nothing about the team. There was nothing about the team. It was all about me. It's all about I.
What do you expect? It's Deion Sanders.
I know, but I think that's garbage.
That is who Deion Sanders is. That's why a lot of people...
I'm not saying that's not who he is.
I know.
But I'm saying the way he handled that first meeting was garbage.
It was arrogant, but I think he was setting a tone. And he was saying, look, no disrespect to you guys, but there's a reason I'm here, and you guys are not good enough to be on my football team. I agree with the message, maybe not the delivery.
He can't keep a single player in that meeting with the way he was talking.
He doesn't want the players. That's why he told him.
You can't replace 85 guys via the portal.
He's damn sure going to try.
No, he can't. You got the money.
We got to take a break. Joey Black of Alabama Central joins us when we come back.
Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Welcoming in our usual Monday 2:30 guest. It's Joey Blackwell of Bama Central. Joey, happy Monday, man. Hope you're doing well. Let's dive into the news around college football. The playoff rankings were released yesterday, and Alabama is on the outside looking in. All weekend long, we saw head coach Nick Saban get his opportunities to plead his case and give the reasonings for why Alabama should have been in the playoff. Ultimately, they are on the outside looking in. Your thoughts on Alabama missing the playoff?
Yeah, you know, it shouldn't really come as any sort of surprise. You know, Ohio State did have one loss that was, you know, by a much larger point margin. But at the end of the day, I think the committee proved, you know, I think the committee made the right choice. The problem was Alabama had a 10-2 next to their name, while Ohio State had an 11-1. And it's only fair that, you know, in a rivalry game, that Ohio State would get the edge there and make it in. So TCU also, you know, if TCU had, you know, lost by the margin that they were trailing in the third quarter, you know, we might be having a very different conversation right now. But the fact is, you know, the Horned Frogs were able to come back, take it to overtime, and you really can't punish a team for, you know, going into overtime and losing in a conference championship game to a team that you've already beaten that year. So I understand Nick Saban getting out there and defending his team and, you know, making a case. And he made some valid points in some areas, but ultimately the committee sided with, you know, the four teams that we got. Alabama will be headed to the Sugar Bowl, and I think that's exactly where they belong this year.
Joey, over the last, I guess, few weeks, it felt like there was a just long, long, long list of things that had to happen for Alabama to really be in the conversation. And it felt like every single one of them, like every box was just starting to get checked. Was there a point at any point during the last few weeks that you sat there and thought, this might happen?
Yeah, you know, I think I had that moment actually this past weekend, and that was the first and only time that I had it. That was when we had already seen USC lose, and we saw, you know, just the potential for TCU losing by a pretty substantial margin. Had that happened, I really think we could have seen Alabama and Ohio State sneak their way in. So there was a brief moment until TCU came back in that game that I was like, holy cow, like we've already seen, you know, this many boxes checked. What's going to stop this one from being checked? And, you know, obviously TCU ended up coming back. But yeah, it was quite impressive about how just how close this Bama team actually came in to being the first two-loss playoff team.
Joey, we saw head coach Nick Saban just alluded to it a little bit, but we saw him and heard him again over the weekend pleading his case, saying why Alabama should have been in the college football playoff. He referenced betting lines, right? He said if Alabama were to be put in the playoff, would we be favored in most of the games? I think he's probably right. I think they would probably be favored against everybody except Georgia, in my opinion.
I think Michigan would have that'd be a very, very close line.
It would be close, I think. But we saw Saban reference that quite a bit. And then he also said, if this is about getting the four best teams in, are we considered one of the best four teams? We asked you this last week and you said no. Do you still feel that way about Alabama as it stands right now with the final rankings coming out?
No, I don't think this is the best. I don't think Bama's one of the top four teams in the country. This has been just from the start, been an off year for Alabama. And, you know, just looking at this team, and they did have a lot of adversity that they had to overcome this year, you know, with Bryce Young being hurt and him really, really being hurt for far longer than when he came back from his injury. They've had those issues. The secondary has had so many problems all year long. And I really don't see them, you know, maybe I could see them, you know, outplaying TCU just because of the level of competition that TCU's had to face this year in the Big 12. But Georgia is undisputedly the number one team, in my opinion. I think Michigan and Ohio State both have more complete teams than Alabama does this year. Shoot, if Tennessee had Hendon Hooker, you know, I would put Bama down at six, as I'm sure a lot of pick committee people would. But no, I still don't have Bama in the top four. There's always next year, and this is also going to be a team that we don't even know who's going to be playing for them in the Sugar Bowl with the transfer portal and with players opting out. You know, I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about that this week. But as of right now, no, I still wouldn't put Alabama in my top four.
So, Joey, today is the day that everybody's been waiting on. The transfer portal has opened, and it feels like half of everybody's roster, maybe literally for some schools like Texas A&M, are in the portal right now. I know Alabama's got nine guys in the portal right now. How are Alabama fans feeling about that? Are these key losses, or is Alabama going to be able to bounce back fairly quickly from these nine players, including like Trayshawn Holden, Christian Leary, Javian Cohen? Those guys are all in the portal. Is Alabama going to be able to bounce back quickly from these losses?
You know, I think so. This is a team that one of their problems was that they did have experience, but not as much experience as they would have had. And I think that, you know, next year they will have a little more experience. Plus, they're bringing in a very talented group that's kind of filling in the gaps. Plus, Alabama can still hit the transfer portal. Just, you know, this is a two-way street we're talking about here. You know, we're not just seeing all these players leave Alabama. I'm sure right. In the next, you know, month or so, we're going to have a lot coming in as well. The biggest surprises to me, you know, I think Javion Cohen was had me raising my eyebrows last night, just because this is a guy that started 10 games for Alabama, you know, has really been a consistent contributor for the Crimson Tide on offensive line. Trey Sanders, you know, I was telling somebody earlier today, just God bless him. Like, I really hope that he can go somewhere where he's utilized and really benefit from. I mean, obviously a former five-star recruit that's just had injuries both on and off the field. Would really like to see him go somewhere and thrive. And that's, I know a lot of people get upset when they see players enter their name in the transfer portal, but in my opinion, it's really hard to get mad at somebody wanting to better themselves, you know, and better their careers. And if you're a guy like Trey Sanders that was a five-star, you know, that isn't going to be starting, you know, next year, why not try to, you know, boost your NFL potential somewhere else? And so, yeah, Trayshawn Holden, you know, Christian Leary, not really surprises to me. I know Trayshawn has been contributing this year, but he's been a guy that I feel like he probably thinks he would be more heavily utilized elsewhere. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are trying to make it to the NFL. And if you're playing second string for Alabama, then you're probably not going to cut it.
Talking with Joey Blackwell of Bama Central here on the Monday edition of On the Line. You mentioned it already. It's where I was going next. This is a two-way street with the transfer portal. Alabama may be losing some players, but they are more than likely going to pick up a few as well. It's a conversation we're going to have about Auburn later on in the show and throughout the week. Joey, where does Alabama go in the transfer portal? Where do they need to go in the transfer portal to get ready for the 2023 season?
Yeah, you know, I think they definitely – I think secondary has been a problem for them. They did bring in Eli Ricks, obviously, this past year, but Eli Ricks wasn't as ready as quickly as Alabama fans would have wanted to see him get ready. I think they'll definitely hit the portal for that. I think, you know, with Will Anderson going, you might see a linebacker come around, which there's been a couple of really talented linebackers into the portal today. On offense, you know, I really think they're going to need to reload on offensive line. You know, like we said, there's three line offensive linemen in the portal right now for Alabama, including Javion Cohen. They're really going to need to reload at that unit. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe a quarterback come to Alabama too. I know that might, you know, raise some eyebrows, but, you know, with the talent that Alabama has, you know, they really need experience. And while Jalen Milroe is an outstanding quarterback, he still needs to be developed. And I could see them going for a quarterback potentially. So there's a lot of different positions they could go after, and you know, I think there's a big potential. We're seeing a lot of already really talented players into the portal from across the country, and it's going to be fun.
So obviously, you made reference to it earlier. Alabama is playing Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl. How do you what do you think about that matchup? Kind of starting out, and how do you think Alabama matches up with the Wildcats of Kansas State, the Big 12 champion Kansas State Wildcats?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a Kansas State team that really hasn't gotten much attention this year. I don't want to say they're underrated because they are a top 10 team, but as far as being in the spotlight, I think TCU kind of took a lot of that away from them. This is a team that, you know, finished the season 10-3. Like you said, they're Big 12 champions. They have a really solid rushing offense. I think they're ranked 17th in the country. They average over 200 yards a game on the ground. They have a stellar running back in Deuce Vaughn, which if anybody watched the game on Saturday against TCU, he had a great game, rushed for 1,400 yards on the season. Now Alabama has done really well defending the run against the run this year, but this could be one of the better rushing teams they've faced. Overall offense, you know, Kansas State really does need help in the passing department. They rank 93rd in the country in passing offense, so they are kind of forced to be a little one-dimensional. But that being said, they have a month to prepare for Alabama, and I really think that this is a team that can easily sneak up on Alabama, and I think a lot of that will also weigh on how many players we have opt out and are in the portal by then. But don't sleep on this Kansas State team. They definitely have a lot of tools that they could use for success.
Speaking of players that may not be playing in the Sugar Bowl, obviously, names that'll jump out to a lot of people that would come to mind would be Bryce Young, Will Anderson, players like that. How much do you see that playing a role in how this Sugar Bowl plays out?
You know, if you'd asked me that question a couple of weeks ago, I would have resolutely said that I didn't think anybody was opting out. But today, my opinion has changed. Now, I don't know anything for sure about any players that are going to be opting out. We should find out this week. I know Nick Saban said that he was going to talk to some of his players last night after the awards banquet. So we'll probably be having that news soon. But I think if players like Bryce Young or Will Anderson opt out, obviously that's going to have a huge impact on the game. You know, we might see a guy like Jalen Milroe start at quarterback or Ty Simpson, and with good reason. There's not going to be the depth at wide receiver with Trayshon Holden and Christian Leary out. With three offensive linemen, there's not going to be the depth at O-line. So I think it's going to be potentially a very, very different Alabama football team, which is why I was just saying that Kansas State really has an opportunity here should those guys opt out.
Speaking with Joey Blackwell of Bama Central, we have him on every single Monday here on the Line. Alabama football ends 10 wins, 2 losses, number 5 in the country. As the final rankings come out before bowl season, they'll play Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl. Let's turn our attention to basketball a little bit, because this Alabama basketball team is top 10 in the country. They are number 8 according to the AP poll that was released. They are 7-1. Their only loss coming to UConn. They have wins over Michigan State, North Carolina, which may be losing a little bit of its traction right now, but they've got number 1 Houston coming up, plus Memphis and Gonzaga in the non-con slate. Your reactions to Alabama being a top 10 team right now?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really, not incredibly surprised after seeing what they were able to do in Portland at the Phil Knight Invitational. This is a team that is one of the best, defensive teams in the country this year, and they also have a really solid offensive game as well. As Nate Oates once said a while ago, it really stuck with me. It's like, if you can finish top 20 in KenPom in both adjusted offense and adjusted defense, then you're doing something right. And right now, Alabama does have both of those stats. That being said, this is going to be a really, really tough game on the road at Houston. Houston is head and shoulders above, looking like they're the best team in the country. And they're number 1 for a reason. This is also a Houston team that is having to play Alabama. You know, they lost to Alabama last year in Coleman Coliseum, and they definitely haven't forgotten about that. A couple of their key players are returning to play in this game from last year. So it's a lot of bad blood there on Houston's side. So it's going to be a good one. And then you have to turn right back around and play Memphis and Gonzaga the next week. So a lot of really talented teams Alabama has on the docket, but, you know, fortunately they've managed to make it 7-1 so far, and they definitely have an opportunity to, you know, impress some people over these next couple of weeks.
Joey, one more thing before we let you go. In the seven wins, what was it that Alabama did well to get those seven wins? And then the one loss, what was it that they didn't do well enough to come out with a win?
I think as far as the seven wins, I think one of their best stats so far is just defensive effort. But then as far as, you know, something statistical, they're rebounding. They're able to rebound very well on both ends of the court. And I think that's really played a huge role in, you know, not creating second chance opportunities for, you know, opposing teams, and also being able to capitalize on your own offensive end of the court. As far as what they struggle with, particularly in the game against UConn, an issue for them has been turnovers. They really struggled with ball management, particularly late in games. So that's something that they struggled against UConn. And I think that if they can, you know, patch that up, I really think this team has a chance to finish the season in the top 10. But, you know, that being said, it's been a glaring issue that's been going on for over a month now, and we'll just have to, you know, see if they can get that cleaned up before SEC play starts later this month.
Alabama basketball, they are number 8 in the country. They have a date with number 1 Houston on Saturday on the road. Should be a fantastic matchup. Joey, man, we appreciate you and your time every single week. Let everybody know where they can keep up with you and all your great work at Bama Central.
Absolutely. Everybody can follow me on Twitter at Blackwell Sports. You can find all of my writings as well as my co-writers on BamaCentral.com. You can find us on Facebook at Bama Central on S, or Bama on Alabama on SI, excuse me, on Facebook. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week. That is Joey Blackwell of Bama Central. Again, he joins us every single Monday here on the show, giving us updates about Alabama athletics with the football team on the outside looking in the playoff, and basketball team looking pretty darn good. They've got a date, like I said, on the road at number 1 Houston on Saturday. Should be a fun one. Let's get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up the hour number 1 on the other side of this break.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number 1 here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Big thank you to Joey Blackwell of Bama Central. He joins us every Monday here on the show, talking to him about Alabama football as they just miss out on the college football playoff, which I know so many of you are just so upset about. I really am sorry that your feelings got hurt yesterday. Look, Alabama may not have made it in, but Ohio State did. And for me, that's not any better. So I'm not happy about it, but here we are. Georgia's in there. Ohio State's in there. Ugh, right? We're pulling for Michigan. That's what's happening for me. I'm pulling for Michigan. So, well, I'm excited, though. I'm excited about the matchups. I think they could be good.
TCU any chance?
I am. I do like Max Duggan. He won me over. So, I'm pulling for Michigan.
They're going to get bullied by Michigan.
Yeah, probably. Probably
so. They're going to get bullied.
Yeah, I don't know. We're still a little ways away from that. But just looking at it from today's standpoint, the easy pick is Michigan, right? But I'm cool. Whoever wins that game, I just need them to win the next game. So that means my fandom is going to Michigan because they have the best chance to beat Georgia or Ohio State. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm not happy that Ohio State slipped in there because they sat at home on championship weekend after being blown out in their own stadium by their rival, but it's not the first time it's happened. So the question is, did they get it right?
Yeah, they absolutely got it right. There were no other 4 to go to. You can't penalize TCU for an overtime loss to a good Kansas State team, a Kansas State team they had beaten earlier in the year, and the fact that, and I will die on this hill this year, TCU went 12-0 in the deepest conference in the country this year. The Big 12 is the deepest conference in the country this season. They just are.
Yeah.
Because
that's fair.
The last place team in the Big 12 could beat the best team. You had a 4-8 Iowa State team that had 6 one-score losses. six of them.
That's
and a top 10 defense as well. So, yes, that conference is – and everybody else at least got pulled an upset or two in their conference. Heck, Iowa State beat Iowa. An Iowa team that almost won the Big Ten West and played for a conference championship game.
All you got to do is score a touchdown.
Exactly. No, sometimes it's not even a touchdown. Sometimes it's a field goal and two safeties.
Yeah. Seven points. I shouldn't just limit it to a touchdown because you just got to get 7 points to beat Iowa sometimes. But
yes.
Look, TCU, they're in. I hope they give Michigan a game. Obviously, we'll talk about it more as it gets closer. But the committee, they got it right. That's all I'm saying. They got it right. Hour number one in the books. We'll talk a lot more about the playoff, about the transfer portal, and what Auburn needs to do when we come back in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all had a great weekend. Hour number one is officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway right here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast or at ESPNAU.com. You can find it under the Podcast Center commercial free right after the show. So be sure you go and do that. Lots of college football playoff talk. Talk to Joey Blackwell, Alabama Central, about Alabama not making the playoff and their matchup with Kansas State. Also talk to him a little bit about Alabama basketball as they're a top 10 team partner with Tennessee and Arkansas all right there. Tennessee 7, Alabama 8, Arkansas at 9. So SEC pretty stacked. Auburn at 11. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But
the SEC has 6 teams in the top 25, most in the country.
Yep, it's stacked. And SEC play right around the corner. We are less than a month away from that. So
in case you're wondering, it's 7, 8, 9, 11, 16, and 23.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you know who's not in that top 11? Kentucky, which says something about where the conference is right now. We know what the top 5 teams are. We just don't know what the order is, and it's going to be switched around quite a bit. But in the first hour, we talked to Joey Blackwell about that. So if you missed any of the first hour, again, go to ESPNAU.com after the show today and find the podcast commercial free. But here in hour number two, lots of transfer portal talk, lots of talk about Auburn and where they need to go in the transfer portal. No Jacob Hillman today. He's caught up in some meetings, so it'll be us here in the second hour. We'll pick back up with him next week. But let's jump into this thing, man. Let's talk about the transfer portal because we didn't
it's
get to it much.
It's been insane to this
it's
point.
It's been ridiculous. Like, you called it as a hole in the Hoover Dam, and that's pretty accurate.
You want to hear a stat that gives you some context about just how nuts this is? The ACC, 6 starting quarterbacks entered the portal today.
That's ridiculous.
6 of them.
6 starting quarterbacks.
Yes, and one of them already found his new home.
Yes, he did.
Phil Jurkovec.
Yep.
He is transferring from Boston College to Pitt because starting quarterback Keaton Slovis is in the portal at Pitt.
He was one of the first quarterbacks to enter the portal, wasn't he? The Boston College kid?
Today, yes. Mm-hmm. Slovis entered it a couple days ago because I believe he's a grad transfer at this point.
Right.
Because he transferred last year from USC to Pitt, and then now I think is grad transferring out.
I'm not going to say he's necessarily the best one to enter, but he's definitely the biggest name to enter. Clemson's DJ Uiagalelei. He's in the transfer portal now.
Yes.
Again, not saying he's the best one, but name-wise, He is. He's the biggest name to in the if you're talking that little quarterback group by far. Not to kind of get into our question of the day, but there's a lot of guys in the portal, man. It is crazy. We knew it was going to be this way, but I mean, it's like every 10 or 15, not even 10 or 15 minutes. It's like every 5 to 10 minutes.
It's every bam, two or three.
Transfer right portal. Hey, so-and-so has entered the transfer portal. Bam. Yeah. So-and-so has entered the transfer portal. Hey, so-and-so has committed to blank. Like, it is unbelievable today. And I said it in the first hour. I feel really bad. They volunteered themselves to do it. But anybody that runs any sort of transfer portal social media page, you're getting your work in today, and you're going to get your work in this week and over the next week or two, the next month, really, just because there are so many people entering the transfer portal and for so many reasons, right? Looking for new opportunity, coaching change. Maybe you lost your spot on the roster or the starting roster. Maybe you're looking for more NIL money. Maybe it just doesn't work for you, right? There's so many more options now than there ever were before on why a player would enter the transfer portal. But it's borderline free agency at this point. I mean, you put your name in and you just wait for the phone to start ringing. And then whoever calls, you've got your pick on where you want to go. And it's wild out there right now in the transfer portal. Let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, Jacob, Carter, how y'all doing?
Doing good, Ed.
Hey, I appreciate that y'all let me in. I was just going to a couple of things I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
With all of the stuff on the transfer portal, mm-hmm. you know, that's good, but it's like a free for all free agents.
It is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems like to me that sometime in the future that some kind of more oversight's going to have to be done if there's any kind of integrity left. But, you know, I guess that may be gone by the wayside anyway. But I was going to call and talk on the NIL. They need to change that, okay? It's not, they've got, you change it to bag or swag, you know, money, because they're not getting paid for, you know, their image out. They're not doing commercials. The whole spirit of the thing was, you know,
that's fair.
Something else. And now they're, you know, we know that Obama's pretty much offering, you know, I've heard from 4 million to 8 million next year for Bryce Young to come back. From everything I've been heard from Nick Saban and everybody else, I think they're getting together a monetary package for both him and Will Anderson mm-hmm. and the others to go ahead and play in the bowl game, you know, to give them more money just to like that one extra game. Isn't that how you interpreted some of his language?
I don't think either of them are going to play in the game, to be honest with you.
But I don't know if they're going to play. Even if they were to come up with some sort of package like that, Ed, I don't even think it'd be worth it for them because of the threat of injury. But you're right about NIL. It's no longer about, hey, come on campus and be a sponsor for this cereal brand. It is, hey, this is the amount of money you're going to get if you come and play for our school. That's not what it was supposed to be, but that's what it's become.
Yes, it has. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, that at some time there will be some kind of, you know, rules established. But I was going to, in talking about that, another thing that Alvin Briggs, you know, head of the Alabama High School mm-hmm. you know, athletics, and he's an Auburn man. And but there's no way that he'd be like Thompson High. That is Alabama prep. People at Alabama, they go out and they scout and find these players. And they move them to the Thompson High sitting in Alabama. It wasn't anything, but they move them up there. You know, parents amazingly get great jobs in a great, you know, neighborhood, nice house. And it's obvious, you know, what's going on. But it is not within, you know, his, you know, what would you call it, his ability or, you know, to do anything about it. Everybody knows it. And even the little eighth grader, there were some whispers that some money, you know, about his NIL. And if you don't think it's happening with high school kids, I think you're very, very naive.
I mean, it happens. I mean, we can sit here and deny it, but it happens, right? It's not just in the state of Alabama. It's going to happen in big areas all over the country, trying to get high school kids to come in, play, and compete for state championships. There's no doubt about it. Ed, we've got a couple of people behind you. We're going to let you go and get to some of them, man. Yeah, we appreciate the call. That was Ed joining us here on the line. Let's get back to the phone lines, though. 334-321-1390. JR, you're on the line, man. Welcome in.
Hello, guys. Long time no talk.
Yeah. Welcome in, man. What you got?
Just trying to get through finals, man.
I heard that. Well, good luck to you if you have more to come up or you know. I mean, hope's up that you pass the ones if you've taken one already.
Hey, that's the truth. Hey, first off, I'd like to say, I know you haven't touched on the Auburn transfer portal yet, you know, but told y'all Landon was going to come back. That ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach, you know, I was going to talk about him, his name getting in. I know you haven't touched on it yet, but there's two teams I've know that he's probably going to talk to. And with Haynes King leaving, what do y'all feel about him going back to A&M? And then Jalen Milroe, I know he's not, you know, developed a great quarterback, you know, but I know from some people in my circle that Alabama is also a good place for him to go. And I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
I mean, I don't see him going to Alabama and being the starter next year. I think Alabama's probably going to set their sights somewhere bigger in the transfer market. They're probably going to have somebody's current starting quarterback right now is probably going to be starting at Alabama next year, I would imagine. As far as A&M, I mean, I guess I don't know exactly what
their two quarterbacks have left.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
have nobody there.
Is Max Johnson still there?
Yeah, but I mean, if he couldn't, I mean, how much trust do you have in him, though?
Well, he was the starter until he got hurt this year. I mean, it's similar story to what we've seen with a bunch of A&M quarterbacks recently. I mean, I guess it's a conversation about how much does Zach Calzada want to go back to A&M and climb back into a quarterback battle that he didn't win while he was there. I know Max Johnson's new. He lost it to Haynes King. And, I mean, I don't know. I think it's an interesting thought. I'm just not sure if I see him going back to Texas A&M.
Well, I'll just call and let y'all know. Y'all keep those two schools on y'all's radar. I promise
you. I got you. Okay. Yeah.
I promise you. I'm one for one on picking these. I'm telling you.
That's right. Hey, maybe you'll go two for two, man. Good luck on your finals. We appreciate it. We got somebody else behind you, so we're going to get to them as well. We appreciate you calling in. That was JR joining us. Let's get to one more phone call before we get to the break. Ty the Tiger, you're on the line, brother. Welcome in.
What's going on, guys? Real quick comment.
Yeah.
I'm changing the subject to the Braves and just say, you know, you see the Mets sign Verlander and the Phillies have signed Trey Turner.
Yeah,
big contracts.
Normally, you know, normal teams would be like, oh, man, and freaking out. But just sit back and remember we got AA and everything's going to be all right.
That's right. Look, hey, man, I'm all for baseball talk in December. Doesn't happen often. There's not always a ton to talk about, but these guys signing big contracts right now, it's crazy. And it's crazy how much some of these guys are making, man.
God, so the Phillies are going to be paying Bryce Harper and Trey Turner for, I mean, God, they're going to be paying them for the next
and Real Muto.
Years, dude.
They got a bunch of money that they're spending over the next few years.
That's crazy. But anyway, all right, real quick, here's my take on Alabama in the playoffs.
Give it to us, man.
They did not deserve it.
True.
Okay? But are they one of the best? Could they beat TCU, Michigan, and Ohio State?
Probably. Yes.
Yes.
Would they be favored? Probably.
I don't think they would be against Michigan, personally. But
I do, especially with their running back out now. He's not playing in the game at all. Yeah,
Ty, the backup running backs run for 400 yards the last two games.
Well, against who? Purdue
and Ohio State. Yeah, that's a playoff team, Ty.
Man, Ohio State better score 50 because that's the only way they're beating Georgia.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I do agree with you.
They got firepower on offense, though. So good firepower, and they could score 60. They could do what they did to Clemson a couple years back and smoke them. But, you know, Stroud's going to have to play better than Stinson Benson, and I think he could. I really think he could.
So, Ty, let me ask you this. Are you sad that Alabama didn't make it if you're saying they're one of the best four teams?
Come on, guys. Let me put it to you this way. I got a bowl pick'em out there with a bunch of buddies I can play fantasy football with. The password is no CFP, the number 4, Bama. That is the password.
There you go.
I like that. Ty, I like it. I just think at the end of the day, it's really hard to put a team in the college football playoff when these two things are true. The best win Alabama had was against a 4-loss Texas team or a 4-loss Ole Miss team. You take your pick there on which one you consider the best win. Most people would probably say Texas. And then the other main point of the resume is look how close our losses were. When those are point A and point B in your resume, that's not strong enough to get you in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I don't blame Nick Saban. You know, Paul Feinbaum ripped him a new one. But Nick Saban did exactly what he's supposed to do and lobby for his team. And
oh, yeah.
That is what. And, you know, I don't see how you take – again, I guess it's TCU was the one team that was really up for debate. You can't take that team out after losing in overtime to the number 10 team in the nation, and they went for it on fourth and goal instead of kicking the field goal and didn't get it by one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think TCU was up for less debate than Ohio State was, to be honest. But once they put Ohio State at 5 ahead of Alabama – Before that weekend, there would have been a lot. As upset as Alabama is, the whole country would have been upset if Alabama had leapfrogged them. Because keep in mind, their case would have gotten even weaker because Michigan handled business against Purdue, won by 20-plus points. And then LSU got housed by Georgia, and that is the only that's one of Alabama's losses. So the resume would have gotten even weaker. Had they put Alabama in over Ohio State, people would have been extremely upset around the country.
And I know y'all are finna go to a break. Real quick, I want to get my last point in.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but thank God we dodged that bullet of prime time. I'm not even lying. I don't know how you guys feel about his opening speech to his team, but wow.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, we had a very short debate at the end of the first hour. Carter is completely against it. I agree with the message, just not the delivery, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Those are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids.
Right.
They're not men.
Right.
They're trying to be men. You're trying to groom them. You know, you look at what Cadillac has been saying these past 4 weeks, and that opinion and that mindset – is not a Deion Sanders mindset in that meeting, in that speech. That was crazy. And then for him to basically just go, and there's your starting quarterback, my son. I mean, that was wow.
Yeah, he's something. Look, the thing about it is nobody is surprised that all of these things happen. It's just like, wow, okay, he did that. And then we move on because you don't expect anything less from Deion Sanders.
And I think we dodged a bullet. I do like all the transfers that are coming back, and I think we're gonna make a little splash. And I think he's gonna make a splash now.
Oh, he's
gonna be top 10 recruiting with 4 days, you know, into a new job. He's gonna kill it.
Bro. Yeah, he's gonna make a splash out there. But again, I said it when we were having our little discussion was Colorado's not a place that's extremely worried about fit. They're just trying to get a guy that can get some dudes and win football games. Deion, seeing what we've seen in the past couple of days, he would not have fit at Auburn by any means. Ty the Tiger, man, we got to get to a break. We appreciate you calling in, man. That is Ty the Tiger. He's joined us. He calls in all the time. We love having him on. We had great calls to start this hour. We'd love for you to be one of them as well. 334-321-1390. More transfer portal talk, talking about the Auburn guys that are in the portal and where Auburn needs to go in the transfer portal. All that coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line.
on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Monday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. We've had great calls here in hour number two. Reminder, no Jacob Hillman at 3:30. He's wrapped up with some things, so you've got us for all of hour number two. But it means phone lines are open the entire second hour, so we would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I promise we're going to talk Auburn transfer portal guys and where they need to go. I promise we're getting there, but question of the day, with the transfer portal opening up, we've seen the 50,000 people that have entered the transfer portal in the last few hours. Carter, question of the day to you, my friend. What are the biggest names? Who are the biggest names in the transfer portal so far in your mind?
Oh, I mean, there's several receivers out there that are huge, 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 huge names. There's quarterbacks all over the country. You've got DJU, you've got Spencer Sanders, you've got Keaton Slovis, Djokovic has already been snapped up somewhere. McNamara, he's already transferred to Iowa.
For some weird reason.
Yeah, that's confusing. Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech, I think that, you want to talk about a guy who would be a really interesting fit for Hugh Freeze's offense? Just, I would keep an eye on that one, mm-hmm. maybe. Especially because you're going to have to go get somebody now because you can't if it's because I don't expect TJ to be on the roster. And if TJ and Calzada are both gone, you got to go get somebody. And so I don't know. There's a lot of big names. Justin Flo, linebacker from Oregon. There's a lot of names.
There's a lot of guys, secondary guys that are in the portal that Auburn could potentially go after.
There's a lot of highly rated Texas A&M players because yes. They're all leaving.
Right. Jordan Mukes from Oklahoma, four-star safety. I think that's a big name. You mentioned A&M having quite a few guys in the portal. Let's talk about some of the Auburn guys that have entered the transfer portal. We've seen a couple of them enter and come back, right? Which we knew was an option for some of them. And we've seen a couple of them take that and run with it, right? They've come back, but you see a guy like DeZayla Worsham, the wide receiver, he is in the transfer portal. Keandre Jones, he is in the transfer portal. Zach Calzada, he is in the transfer portal, which I want to speak on that for just a second. I'm disappointed to see it because when Zach Calzada transferred here, I bought in like a lot of people did, and I thought he had potential to be really good here. Unfortunately, he didn't have anybody to help him, and you can say what it was or whatever. I am disappointed that he didn't work out here because I think he had potential to be good here. I thought he was going to be the starter. You could still make the argument. Maybe at the time he could have been the best thrower. There were some talks of him struggling to completely learn the playbook, which obviously is not a good thing, but you see where Robbie Ashford is now, who has gotten better as the year went on, right? Maybe not throwing the football, but to wrap that up, I'm just saying I'm disappointed to see Zach Calzada go because I thought he could be something good, but he's probably not going to be it here at Auburn.
I wonder if there was a mutual parting of ways with Zach Calzada.
Kind of how it feels.
It feels that way. It certainly does with the way that Calzada had said previously that he was going to stick it out through the spring, compete for the starting job. And then, of course, today you have this happen. You've seen something similar with Xavien Capers. Xavien Capers, 3 days ago,
mm-hmm.
said he was pulling his name he intended to enter the transfer portal, and then he had decided against it. He was going to stay at Auburn. Then he entered the transfer portal today. That's part of the process that's going to happen. There's going to be guys that are not a part of this roster because they don't fit the scheme or they don't fit the level of talent that Hugh Freeze and the staff is going after.
Yeah, I mean, we said when Freeze got hired, I mean, it's standard for him. He was going to sit down between Wednesday and today and sit every single player down and figure out where they stood,
yeah.
what they were going to do, and have the conversation on, hey, we like you, but we recommend that you you may want to explore your options in the transfer portal, right? Whether it's we don't think you're good enough to play here, or you don't fit our system, or we just would rather go and get our own guys. Whatever the reason may be, Hugh Freeze was going to have that conversation with every single player, whether they needed to stay and they wanted them, or whether they should explore their options. So I don't think it's a huge shock that this is happening. I don't think Auburn fans are really flipping out about anybody that's entered the transfer portal yet. I'm sure there are more to come. That's just kind of how this whole thing works. And just because they enter the transfer portal doesn't mean they're leaving. That is really important to remember here.
Yeah. I think for most of them, they're going to be moving on. The only
most of them, yes. Especially with the coaching change.
I think Keandre Jones right now, of the ones that have hit the portal from Auburn, is the only one that is probably has a legitimate chance to come back.
We've got more to talk about this. Auburn in the transfer portal, where the Tigers got to go, and where we think Hugh Freeze and this staff will go in the transfer portal. All coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goins and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, talking about the transfer portal as it is open today. It is open for business, and my goodness, it has just flooded with guys in college football. We've seen guys from Auburn enter the transfer portal. We just talked about that a little bit, but interested to see, and it's not going to be just today. It's going to be over the next few weeks, where does Hugh Freeze and this staff go, right? Where do they go in the transfer portal? Speaking of the staff, we have to talk about some of the hires that Auburn has made over the last couple of days as well.
Which is, right now, it is Jeremy Garrett, Ben Agamoa, I believe. Agamoa?
I think it's Agamoa.
Yes.
If we're pronouncing that wrong, I apologize.
And then who else? The offensive line coach, Jake Thornton, I believe, from Ole Miss. And that's pretty much it, because Cadillac's already on board. We knew that one already.
Right. So we've seen Hugh Freeze, and again, I don't want to say starting from the bottom and working his way up, but that's kind of what he's doing, right? He's starting with his guys that are not necessarily the coaches.
Like, the fact that the hires are being made on the defensive side I guess technically it's just Jeremy Garrett. It's got to be somebody that pairs well with him, which to me, you've heard a lot about the name Chris Kiffin. Could there be something potentially in place for Chris? Because Jeremy Garrett worked under Chris Kiffin. Chris Kiffin is currently the defensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, they have a good defensive line, in case you were wondering.
Yes, they do.
So he was the defensive line coach there. Jeremy Garrett was the assistant defensive line coach there, I believe, last year, as recently as last year. I think he was there for a couple years. And then he got the defensive line coaching job at Liberty, which is where he was when he came over to Auburn. So it would make sense, if Chris Kiffin was going to be your defense coordinator, that you could go ahead and make that hire.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we haven't heard anything more about the defensive coordinator search. We've heard Travis Williams is his name mentioned. Other positions, you've heard Coach Crime Dog.
Crime Dog, yeah.
McGriff.
Yeah.
He's been mentioned. I believe he's going to be here. There have been some articles written that he's going to be on staff. They don't know what capacity. It could be a DB's coach, could be a corners coach, could be, I guess, an analyst role.
Well, this morning on, and this is what I find interesting, this morning on Auburn Opelika this morning, I was hosting it, placing in place for Ben Taylor. I talked to Daryl Dapperidge, who talked on the sports segment, and he was talking about the offensive side where, you know, we heard Hugh Freeze in his press conference talk about the possibility of him, giving up play calling duties, but the fact that we haven't had a hire, maybe Hugh Freeze, and the fact that he's hiring so many big defensive guys and hammering on the defensive side of the ball this early, maybe Hugh Freeze isn't as concerned as hiring an offensive coordinator right now or a big name offensive coordinator, because he just wants to get a guy that can go and recruit, right? That's what Daryl was talking about this morning, was maybe he's going to get a guy that's just a big-time recruiter on the offensive side, and Hugh Freeze continues to call plays.
And you heard a guy like Derek Nix at Ole Miss. He's the wide receivers coach there. He was getting mentioned for the Auburn offensive coordinator job and was progressing nicely, which, stop me if you've heard that before about an Ole Miss coach in Auburn. And then it has hit some sort of a snag as of today, I believe.
So at this point, on Monday, December 5th, it's been a week, right? It's been a week. It was pretty much a week right now, when about 30 minutes ago, a week ago, when the news broke of Hugh Freeze coming to Auburn. How do you feel about him if he is the guy to be calling plays? Are you confident in that? Yeah. Is that what you personally want? I'm curious. Because we've talked about Auburn when they were in the process. We wanted a guy as a CEO.
Yeah, I think he can do it extremely well. I personally would like somebody else to call plays, because I want Hugh Freeze to be of the Kirby Smart mindset that my job is to go sell this program to recruits, to transfers. My job is to be the CEO and recruit my butt off. And you know Kirby Smart does that. I'm not saying Hugh Freeze can't be successful calling plays at Auburn, but essentially being the head coach slash offensive coordinator, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how many. I mean, if you look at it right now, of the coaches in the college football playoff, how many of those coaches are calling plays for one side of the ball for their team? Kirby Smart's not.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Jim Harbaugh is. I know Sonny Dykes is not. And I don't think Ryan Day is. I don't think any of those guys are. Granted, there seems to be some shuffling of Ohio State staff right now.
Yeah.
Because I believe they're at least one coordinator left. I think the offensive coordinator has left to be the head coach at Tulsa.
Well, heck, there's noise about Ryan Day being on the hot seat, and the dude just made the playoff.
If Ohio State and Michigan make the championship game and Michigan rolls, like could there be a situation where they fire Ryan Day for losing to Michigan twice in 1 year, even though it would be in the national championship?
Three times in a row, twice in 1 year, in the national championship game. The state of Ohio may burn to the ground. It might.
They would push him to the side and say, Urban Meyer, what's up? How are you?
They'd give Fox a call and say, hey, we need our guy back. Oh, well, first of all, Ohio State's not beating Georgia. But don't think they would fire Ryan Day if he gets to the championship game and loses to Michigan again. They would be very upset, because Ohio State shouldn't have been in the playoff anyway. They backed their way in thanks to people losing. And then if they beat Georgia, you're going to be pretty pumped about that. But then you get there and you get beat by Michigan again. And if it's in a blowout, not going to be happy, Ohio State Buckeye fans in Columbus. But no, talking Auburn and Hugh Freeze and the staff, they made some hires. Now everybody's attention is on who's going to be the defensive coordinator, who's going to be the offensive coordinator, and those hires will determine where Auburn goes in the transfer portal, which we've talked a lot about today, because it has opened up. It has been a flood of guys enter the portal. Where does Auburn go position-wise in the transfer portal? Right now, as the roster stands, where should they go?
Offensive line and defensive line. A whole lot. Go get like 20 dudes in total from those two position groups. You need double-digit offensive linemen. You need close to, what, 8, 9 defensive linemen?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Like, you need depth. You need, on the offensive side of the ball, you need like 7 dudes who can play. Who can play as soon as they walk in the door. Which is why Javian Cohen is an interesting one, which is going to be a little bit of require some Auburn fans to get over it because of the history there and some of the comments made publicly. And then the Crane whatever taunting outside Auburn's Birmingham Bowl practice that one time where he did that. But he's somebody that went to Central just up the road. It would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it would.
Somebody who started a lot of games. Somebody who I believe has only allowed one sack or either has only allowed one sack in his career or only or maybe none. He's a good offensive lineman. And I think that there's you see a lot of Auburn players tweeting at him, including Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah. Well, look, we've seen guys enter the portal for Auburn. I think the Tigers should go and get some type of quarterback out of the portal. Doesn't have to be Drake May from North Carolina. You'd love that, but I don't think Auburn would be able to pull him. But Auburn's got to go and get somebody at the quarterback position who has some experience, who can be a threat to be the starting quarterback next year. They need to go and get somebody that they thought they were getting in Zach Calzada, right? Because when Zach Calzada came in, myself included, I was one of the highest praisers. I said, there's your starter. You got him, right? We thought he was going to be the starter. I did for sure. And then obviously it didn't happen. Auburn's got to go and find that guy who can actually become the starter, whether he gets the job or whether he makes Robbie Ashford play better, whether he makes Holden Garner play better, to raise the competition, because we all know competition makes people play better and perform better. Auburn's got to go find that guy at the quarterback position. Now, who that is specifically right now, I don't know.
I think your priority needs to be on the trenches.
Oh, I agree.
Before you get to quarterback.
I 100% agree.
Before you get to wide receiver.
Right. I was kind of saying that into
that's
addition.
In that next tier
right,
for me.
Right.
I think because.
No, the first group of players in the portal.
Offensive line.
It got to be. 100% got to be.
If you go get a good offensive line via the portal, Robbie Ashford can be a solid quarterback.
And if you get a good offensive line.
The amount of Robbie Ashford's struggles this year. Were not trusting the offensive line and an inability to develop as a result of that.
And if you get good offensive linemen out of the portal, that's going to get you better wide receivers out of the portal. That's going to get you a better quarterback out of the portal because they're going to see, okay, you got some dudes coming into play in front of me, right? That's going to help you all the way around. So, yes, I 100% agree. The offensive line has got to be the very first priority. I think Hugh Freeze knows that. I think his staff knows that. It's not very hard to look at the roster and say, we should probably get enough guys to actually play on the offensive line.
Yes.
But in addition to that, yeah, receiver, you got to go and get a couple of playmakers. I think a quarterback is important. Maybe not the very first guy you get, but you got to go and get somebody. Auburn's got to hit the portal hard, man. We knew it was going to happen, but they've got to hit it hard.
Yeah, and there's names out there on the offensive line. There's, I believe, a Rhode Island transfer who's a hot commodity right now. You've got Cohen out there. As far as receivers go, I think Ra-Ra Thomas out of Mississippi State, somebody to potentially keep an eye on. There's a lot of interesting names out there. There's a Texas A&M transfer on the defensive line that I know has been mentioned. There's a lot of guys out there. I mean, on the offensive line specifically, you've got Javian Cohen, Gunnar Britton, a Johnny Cornelius, which is the Rhode Island transfer. And also, how about this? I thought this was very, very interesting. I think Keith Niebuhr at Auburn Live was the first person to say anything about this. I think he put in a prediction, actually. The first name that like is trending in Auburn's direction in the transfer portal is Florida International tight end Rivaldo Fairweather. Really impressive frame, 6'5", like 240, 250-pound tight end. Has decent numbers. Apparently was very, very, very excited about Auburn's offer. Has already given some interviews on Auburn and is, I mean, Keith Niebuhr exited that interview feeling confident enough to put in a prediction for Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, how exciting is that? If Auburn can go and get another stud at tight end, of course, for years and years and years, the tight end position was actually non-existent in Auburn football, but we've seen it revived over the last couple of years, and it works.
And there's evidence that Hugh Freeze can have an extremely productive tight end.
Yeah.
And you look at Evan Engram.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Ingram's final year, I'm going to pull up his stats, but he had an incredible year. He was a first-round tight end. He has had every bit of athleticism you would want. He's a little bit smaller than some of the guys Auburn has on their roster right now. But his senior year at Ole Miss, 65 receptions, 926 yards, and 8 touchdowns as a tight end.
That's ridiculous for a tight end. That's insane. And look, it is proven in college football, in today's college football, that having effective tight ends works. Look at the number one team in the country, folks. Their best ball catchers are tight ends. Their best playmakers are tight ends.
So for reference, John Samuel Schenker has the best tight end season in Auburn history. Last season, when he caught 33 balls for 413 yards and no touchdowns.
Jeez.
And Evan Engram had 65 for 926 and 8 under Hugh Freeze.
Tight ends work. We've talked about it, right? You don't have to go and get the next Rob Gronkowski.
In the words of Stanford Steve, the tight end's always open.
That's true. And if they're not, they're at least a threat to be open, which we know opens up everything else on the field. So I'm excited to see where Auburn goes. I'm excited to see where Hugh Freeze decides to go in the transfer portal, but there's no doubt about it. The offensive line has got to be the first position addressed for Auburn. You've got to go get some dudes. You've got to get some starters on this offensive line. That will help you fill out the rest of this team. And again, we mentioned it late last week. I think it's interesting to note that Hugh Freeze, in his opening presser, he talked about how his method and his mode, right, is to recruit and fill the roster with high school recruits and then plug the holes with transfer portal guys. But he admitted that's probably not going to be an option right now with the short window. The transfer portal is open. The short amount of time, right, between now and the early signing period in mid to late December. He said we're probably going to have to hit the transfer portal hard and try to make up some ground in high school recruiting. It's a busy 3 weeks for this new Auburn staff. They got to fill out the rest of the staff. They got to hit some dudes in the portal, and they got to catch up in this recruiting class. Excited to see where it goes. Let's get to our final break here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We'll come back and wrap it all up on the other side.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you for the next few minutes here on ESPN 106.7. Stay tuned, though. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck right here on ESPN 106.7 from 4 to 6. So stay tuned for that. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and find the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. You can click on the podcast center. Find it commercial-free right after the show today. So if you missed any of the show, it's been a good one. Lots of transfer portal talk within Auburn, outside of Auburn, around the country, as it's been just insane today. We talked the college football playoff a little bit and how the committee absolutely got it right. We talked to Joey Blackwell of Bama Central about that in hour number one, and he agrees. He had Bama outside of his top four. We asked him, is Bama a top four team? He said no. And so if you missed that interview, that was really good as well. We talked to him about Alabama football and basketball. No Jacob Hillman today. He was tied up, so we did not have that interview, but lots of good transfer portal talk for Auburn, talking the new hires as well. It's been a great show today. So if you missed any of it, be sure to go and find the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Tomorrow, just sort of looking ahead to that, in the first hour, we're going to have Christian Clemente of Auburn 247. He'll join us all of hour number one, talking Hugh Freeze, talking the coaching staff, talking the transfer portal, and of course, his specialty, recruiting, right? Talking about where Auburn sits right now, where Hugh Freeze is going to go in the recruiting trail, where Auburn can end up in the recruiting rankings. We're going to talk to Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 about that in the first hour tomorrow. Then we'll talk to Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick, get his thoughts on the championship games, the playoff, Auburn, all that good stuff. So tomorrow should be a really, really good show. Carter, does the night continue like the day? Or are we just going to continue to see transfer portal just light up?
I think it's going to taper off some, but I think this week is just going to be more and more names. There's going to be more names from Auburn's side that enter the portal. I am curious. I want to look this up. I just popped in my head right now.
Light bulb just went off.
I wonder how many Colorado players have entered the portal.
That's actually a really, really good question. And you know what?
Hang on. I'm going
to
find
it. Look that up because I'm interested. To reiterate what we had talked about at the end of the first hour, it's ironic we're talking about it here at the end of the second hour. But again, if you haven't seen the videos and stuff from Deion, I don't know how you have it. But if you haven't, that's okay. Go find them. They're interesting. It's nothing that I wouldn't
Only
expect from Deion.
Only two players have entered the portal today from Colorado. Only two.
So his saying in his speech wasn't harsh enough. I mean, I don't know how.
He didn't tell them he was going to try to make them quit this offseason.
I don't know. I don't really know how when you sit there in the room and the new head coach walks in and says, all right, guys, you all are not good enough to play for me. You're not good enough to play here. I'm bringing my own dudes, so you may as well go ahead and hit the transfer portal. How are you not all in it by the next day?
The exact phrase was he's bringing his own luggage. And it's Louie.
I mean, this dude is, he's something, right? He is something. You know what you're getting with him, and that's why I'm not surprised. I was like, when I saw the video of him addressing the team for the first time, I was like, okay, that is one way to go about it. I agree with the message, because at a school like Colorado, in a program like Colorado right now, that is one of the worst in college football, you've got to go in and you have to make a change like that. I mean, you have to make that instant impact where everybody in the room goes, oh, snap, this guy's for real, right? Yes, a lot of it is for show because that's what Deion is. But I do believe he means it. And I think he truly believes that those guys on that football team are not up to his standard. And he wants to bring his guys and go get his own guys and make that his football team and his football program. Now, is that the way you handle it with 18, 19-year-olds? No, more than likely not. But he feels like it's going to work, so we'll see how it goes.
Gosh, this is going to be so interesting to see how this plays out across the country, because we're going to see unprecedented movement from players this year. I think I have been saying that Auburn's going to have unprecedented roster turnover. Colorado may have that beat now, but it's going to be crazy. It's going to be, I mean, I think Auburn's going to have multiple quarterbacks go in the portal. I think they're going to have probably other offensive linemen, there's going to be other players that go in the portal.
Which is inevitable with a coaching change. It just is.
Have to go get 15, 20 transfers.
Yeah, and Hugh Freeze talked about it. He likes to recruit, but in this short amount of time, you've got to take advantage of the transfer portal because there are countless amounts of players in it right now. You've got to take advantage of it. That's it for the Monday edition of On the Line. We are out of time. Come back tomorrow. It'll be a good one. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.